We have recruited men because those have been the people available to do the work, but we've always taken them on saying, you are here in order to train the next generation. You must be absolutely committed to our goals, which are to take on and train a more diverse workforce. So it means that the guys that we do have working for us are 100% bought into that.
Welcome to the Ripples of Radical Generosity podcast by Coralis, a global community of women and non-binary people making real progress on the world's to-do list. Together, we're transforming the world to become more equitable and sustainable.
Thank you for joining me today, Leah Robson of Your Energy Your Way. Before we get started, I'll just introduce myself. My name is Hannah Senior. I'm the CEO of a company called PBS International Limited. And I'm also a podcaster with two podcasts relating to my business, one called Innovating AgTech and another called Plant Breeding Stories, all of which is quite a long way from your business. But I'm doing this because I have also been a Coralis activator for a couple of years now. And it's a real pleasure to understand more about the ventures that we're welcoming in. So on that note, I'm going to turn it over to you, Leah, to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your venture.
Thank you very much. My name is Leah Robson, and I've been running Your Energy Your Way for 4.5 years now. And we call ourselves a whole house renewables company. So we want to be the company that you come to if you want to do anything renewable in your home. We do a few small businesses as well, but typically it's domestic. So we would install for you perhaps a ground or an air source heat pump to get you away from your gas boiler. We would put solar panels perhaps on your roof to produce electricity in a low carbon way, and also hot water. So we do solar thermal panels which produce hot water. We might put an EV charger in for you, and we might put a battery in also for your home to be able to make maximum use of the solar that you've installed. And we seek to kind of tie it all together and make it work as well as it possibly can together, to sort of kind of along the lines of a smart home, enabling you to really make the most of what you've got in your home.
Excellent. So that's a really helpful overview. Thank you for getting us set off. And the first thing that springs to mind is, how did you come to set up this venture? You know, how did Your Energy Your Way come to be? Because that is a lot and very needed that you're doing. So, give us the backstory.
So the short version is, I was working for somebody. They were running a renewables business, and I couldn't believe the lack of women that I saw in the industry, kind of everywhere I went. At that point, we were working on building sites and in people's homes, and particularly on building sites, I never met a woman who wasn't an architect, a designer, or a cleaner. So this kind of got me thinking. I decided what I really wanted to do was set up myself and have a real focus on getting more women into the industry. So I found a willing friend, and the two of us started Your Energy Your Way, as I say, 4.5 years ago. And we're set up as a social enterprise. So we have a social goal, which is to bring more women into the construction sector. And we've been on a bit of a journey along the last few years to figure out exactly what that looks like and how we might go about doing it.
And are you trained as an electrician, or why specifically this? What was it about this that even had you working in this area to start with?
So I was an IT consultant prior to having my family, and my job was very much, I came away from actual coding and programming very much into the kind of customer service side of it. So we worked with big clients, sitting in between sort of the techie people and the clients, explaining and managing their service for them. So that was the role I was doing. And then once I'd had my children, I wanted to do a job. I think wanted to do a job that I really believed in, and that kind of was in accordance with my concerns around climate change. I was looking around for something, and actually we had someone into the house ourselves to put on solar panels. And I got chatting with him, and it was around the time that the government in the UK were bringing in a scheme called the Green Deal, which was meant to kind of provide you with loans to be able to do this sort of thing on your home. And I kind of talked myself into a job with this guy, saying, look, I could go and help you sell solar panels. I could chat to people about what the tech is and how it works. And I suppose seeing myself again as that kind of bridge between a technical field and a customer service side of things. And so he went along with that, and I started working with him, but it very quickly turned into much more of a technical installation job than I'd ever expected. So I thought I was going to be sitting on the sofa with Mrs. Miggins telling her about solar panels and drinking tea. And actually, the first job I ever did was overseeing the install of 13 air source heat pumps into a new block of flats.
Wow.
So, and yeah, it turned out that the guy I was working for traveled an awful lot. So I just kept getting dropped into the deep end in these meetings. And yeah, you either sink or swim, don't you? So I learned very fast all there is to know about the installation side of the business. And short of actually doing plumbing, I kind of got involved in all aspects of the installs.
You've touched on something that also sounds like it's really relevant, which is, quite aside from the service delivery and the technology understanding yourselves, it's a communication exercise for customers so they understand how to operate these alternative sources of energy and alternative ways of doing things and what they mean for their homes. Mm. Is that right?
Yeah, very much so. Particularly with the heating side of things, it's really getting used to quite a different way of heating your home. And so the sales piece is an awful lot of explanation and handholding. And a lot of our customers are very, very technical themselves. So they kind of get into all the detail and they spend hours on Google. So they have like loads of really advanced questions to ask you. And then you've got customers who are a little bit less well-informed, and you want to make sure that they're really aware of how the technology is going to work. I mean, to give an example, if you have an air source heat pump in your house, you're much better off just letting it kind of run and switch itself on and off just to maintain the temperature that you're after in your house. So people might need to get used to things like having the heating on overnight. For some people, that's a big change. So it's things like that, really. It's very much a communications piece to make sure people know what they're buying, they're spending a lot of money, that we definitely don't disappoint when it actually gets installed.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. In the way that you've described the business, you've already touched on the importance of promoting opportunities for women in construction. So can you just expand on that aspect of your business and how you've thought about it, what kind of actions you're taking, what barriers you're seeing?
Yeah, so as I've kind of gone through this kind of, it's a 10-year journey now in this industry, I've spent a lot of time musing on, you know, why is it that we don't see many women in the sector? And of course, the glib answer that people will give you is, well, women aren't interested in these kind of roles. So let's put that nonsense to one side. So then you kind of get there, okay, well, what are the barriers? What are the things that stop them being able to do this? So I guess I've kind of come up with a little bit of a list. I forget whether it's three or four things. But firstly, you need in this industry to find someone to apprentice you. You need to be shown the job by somebody. You can't just go away and learn it in college. So that's kind of the first hurdle for anyone wanting to get into this industry. You have to find somebody who's almost certainly a middle-aged white man to have you tag around with them for a good period of time, possibly, you know, a couple of years, learning the ropes. So first of all, you've got to find that person. And I seem to spend my time asking a lot of people how they've got into this industry. And the majority of them, they've had a dad or a brother or an uncle or a family friend who has taken them on. And very often those opportunities go to the nephews, you know, the sons, not the nieces and the daughters. So that's kind of the initial barrier, is just getting that apprenticeship position. Another one is that the majority of the women I meet in this industry who've come into it have come into it later in life. It seems really quite rare for women to come into this at sort of the 16, 17 school leavers age. And, you know, I've got teenage children, I can think of a few reasons why that might be. So I think if we are really going to open this sector up, we have to make it accessible to people who might be in their 20s, their 30s, their 40s and on, really. And one of the big barriers to that in the UK is the terrible wage that you get paid as an apprentice. So whatever age you are, I haven't looked it up lately, but last time I looked, it was £4.90 an hour.
Wow.
So it's pretty much saying you are surviving on the bank of mum and dad, or you have a wealthy partner in, who's able to fund you through this. So that, you know, that's another barrier essentially to women getting into this sector, because somehow they've got to live while they do it. And then the third thing that I've found is that it's just lack of role models, really. People just don't see this as a job that they can do because they don't see many other women out there doing it. Fourthly, really, is that it can be quite a lonely path. You know, sadly, there is still a fair amount of trolling on the internet. If you put pictures up there of women getting on with these kind of jobs, there is still the inevitable kind of banter that it's meant to pass as humor, but is actually just serves to make you feel like you don't belong. So the kind of last barrier that we felt was that people needed to come into this kind of as a group. So if we could take on a group of women all together, rather than you just joining as one soul who very often feels kind of very much out there on their own, and also to kind of provide some mentoring as well. So what we've done is we've looked at these sort of four barriers, and we've tried to devise a training scheme that we want to create that, you know, we think will go a long way to overcoming those four obstacles.
That's fascinating. So how many groups have you taken through? Tell me about how long this aspect of the business has been running and how many people you've put through it.
So this is just something that we're just starting now, essentially.
Uh-huh.
So we want to do this. We've been trying to get funding in order to enable us to do it. So we are hoping now to kick off in September, actually getting on.
I'm excited. I'm excited to see that happen because it is definitely much needed.
Mm.
I'm guessing that you've seen a massive increase in demand for the services that you're providing since the start of the Ukraine war, when we've seen energy prices go through the roof. Tell me a bit about that. How have you coped with that extra demand? And have you been able to find enough people to help deliver the services that customers are asking for?
Yeah, that's been a big issue for us because we need really well-trained people to be kind of meeting the demand that we've seen. I mean, there's definitely been a big uptake, although it has slowed down a little bit now, I would say, because of the kind of cost of living crisis. Mm. One of the things that I really had to grapple with as an entrepreneur has been the fact that we can't fix all the social problems that we see. So sometimes I really struggle with the fact that the services that we are selling are very much to wealthy people. We're not dealing with uber wealthy people. We're dealing with comfortably off middle class people who've got some money put away more often than not. So the reason for saying that is kind of, I sometimes feel like, oh no, we really need to be doing things to also help people who are in fuel poverty. And I think sometimes you have to decide what's your path to tread, what are your goals. And it feels for us like if we're to create a sustainable business that we can use to take on more women, then we have to really sort of continue to plow the furrow that we're in, which is that we have a good group of people who want to do the green right thing. They have some money. They're not necessarily coming to us to save money on their energy bills, although they will in the long term, but really not until they've kind of made considerable outlay first. And they really support our mission to educate and to kind of train up more women and girls in the field. So yeah, I feel like I've just gone off on a tangent from your original question. But yeah, so we have seen an increase in demand that has been quite a challenge. And at the same time, we've been trying to put together our thoughts and the funding on this training scheme. So how have we coped? I'm not sure that we have particularly well. I feel like I've just ended up working more hours, to be honest. So yeah, we've got some ideas about how to fix it in the long run, but at the moment we're pretty swamped by demand, which is a good problem to have, but also quite tricky.
Yeah, good problems to have are still problems. They're still needs still challenging.
Yeah,
do you have any stories of impact or connection from any of the projects that you've worked on that you'd like to share with the listeners?
So I think one thing that I've really enjoyed doing is we have already taken on a few women into the business, just we haven't fully got this training scheme up and running. So we took on a lady a couple of years ago, and although for various reasons she wasn't able to stay with the business for longer than a year, what was really encouraging was that we took her from quite a different field. She had a background in zoology and had been doing things with Natural England, but was really keen to get into the renewable space. So she worked for us for a year and then actually managed to get a job with what was BEIS, the government department that deal with all this. So it was really nice in that we were able to be a bridge into a new field. And then we've also more recently, we have actually found a younger trainee to take on. She's still a teenager, and she has tried to get into this industry twice with two different people taking her on as an apprentice, and both of them have really sadly treated her quite badly. So she's been quite burnt by it. So it's been brilliant to be able to take her on and give her a secure and caring environment in which to work, because what we've done as we've grown over the last few years, we've very much recruited. And we have recruited men because those have been the people available to do the work. But we've always taken them on saying, you are here in order to train the next generation. You must be absolutely committed to our goals, which are to take on and train a more diverse workforce. So it means that the guys that we do have working for us are 100% bought into that. And like the most recent engineer that we took on, almost the first thing he said when he was interviewed was, well, I've got a daughter and that's why I want to come and work for you, because I want her, if she ever wanted to, have a place in this industry. So yeah, that's been really great.
It's good to hear that, isn't it? Because as you said, you know, we need to move the dial, but doing that means bringing people along with us, the people who are currently doing this work. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I would say, you know, there's always a few people that I've had struggles with and who don't agree with what we're trying to do, but the vast majority of men that I come across in the industry are like massively supportive and really excited about what we're trying to do. So that's really encouraging.
Brilliant. So you've been welcomed into the Corliss community as one of our new ventures. Can you share a bit about what impact that has had so far and any connections that you've made as a result?
First of all, there was the retreat. So it was absolutely brilliant to meet other ventures. And it's always exciting to meet people from around the world. I always think that's so brilliant to just kind of hear other people's experiences and some similarities and some differences. So that was really great. And then since then I've had a couple of coaching calls and they've been really valuable, helping me. As I was saying, we're a little bit overwhelmed with work, so to kind of do some things around time management and planning a little bit better. So that's been really, really, really helpful. And actually somebody else has also reached out to, we're going to have to do some recruitment, obviously, to start this training scheme. And we want to be putting the right kind of messages out to get the right kind of people. So somebody's offered to help me with that and kind of getting the right wording together. So that's really cool.
Brilliant. And tell me, what is next for Your Energy Your Way? Where do you see the future for the venture? And also, matter entirely of my own interest, what are your thoughts around expansion? Because surely there is nationwide demand for this ultimately.
Yeah, so I mean, I have this, feels sometimes a little bit of a crazy idea, but I have this idea of not exactly franchising. I don't like that word very much, but sort of cell division. So you know how you kind of have a cell and it has the DNA and then the cell divides and you go off somewhere else. I think there's a lot of value to be had in being the local trusted installer. But if we were ever to get to the point where we were big enough that we could kind of do that cell division and go and set up Your Energy Your Way in some other part of the country, sort of sending the people who we've given our DNA to, who kind of have the same ways of working, that feels like a very feminine and interesting way to kind of grow and divide a company. But who knows if we'll ever get there. But for now, we're really just focused on this training program, growing new people into the business, hopefully being able to employ them at the end of the training program, and growing that way is our current plan.
I love that analogy. I think that's a great way of thinking about it. Do you have an ask for listeners in the community that you'd like to use this opportunity to share?
Yeah, so I touched on the recruitment thing. It's a really strange piece of recruitment because we're wanting to appeal to people who never thought that heating and plumbing or being an electrician was ever a career that they would ever consider. So we think that these jobs have just got such a bad reputation in this country as being something that you do if you kind of can't quite manage at school. And that is just so far from the truth. As I said, I was an IT consultant before. This is one of the most challenging, interesting, demanding jobs I've ever done. There's so much to it and they are so satisfying, and you're doing something about climate change. So we need to run a recruitment campaign that is a little bit different, is kind of not going to people and saying, have you ever thought of a job as a plumber? And then probably saying no. It's trying to pique people's interest in a different way. You know, are you into the outdoors? Do you like to work outside? Do you do practical things around your house when they need doing? Just trying to kind of tease out those people who actually have probably never thought of it, but could consider a job in this area. So any more help with kind of messaging around that would be really, really useful. And actually, most specifically, we are currently gender diverse, but still a very white company. And I would be really, really interested in any way that we can run our recruitment to diversify that some more. You know, it'd be absolutely amazing if we could be not just gender diverse, but also ethnically diverse as well as we go forward. So anyone, I'm sure there are people in the community have got expertise in how we can message and how we can get the word out there that says, you know, this isn't just a job for middle-aged white men, quite the opposite, would be really helpful.
Do you have a target age that you're looking at to recruit? I mean, when you're talking about apprentices, you're often thinking about younger people, but is it something the way you're looking at younger people, or is it a broader range of ages that you're looking to recruit?
I think most likely this will appeal to people who've done a university degree and are now a little bit stuck as to what they're actually going to do with their lives. So people in their 20s. Also to mums and carers that are returning from a period out of the workforce, who, as it did with me, it often kind of causes you to rethink kind of what you're doing and what you're about. So we do want people who are going to be out on the tools. So it probably isn't a job to start in your late 40s. Probably people younger than that, just because people's knees and backs give out after time. So yeah, so probably people in their 20s, 30s, early 40s, and perhaps at those two decision points. But we don't really know yet who's going to apply.
I probably should wrap up at this point, but I'm going to ask you another question that struck me as being interesting. So you mentioned the UK government's Green Deal, which promised a lot but didn't really deliver. There's been a lot of criticism of it. Do you have any comments on sort of how we could incentivize more adoption of these renewable technologies in homes? And as you described, the people that are adopting it at the moment are people who are affluent enough to take a punt and do what they think is the right thing. What are your thoughts on how do we get this more widespread as a nation?
So the Scottish government have actually got a very good scheme. I don't know if it's very low interest or interest-free loans. So that would definitely be one to look at. There are a couple of other really good examples in Europe. Italy have got a brilliant scheme, France as well. So there are ways of doing it. Yeah, at the moment, in the government's defence, I think they do recognise that one of the big challenges is getting enough installers, and it's very short-sighted if you kind of launch a brilliant scheme to incentivize uptake and you haven't got enough people to deliver. So I guess that's why we're focused on training, because we think that's probably one of the big blockers at the moment. Mm-hmm. It's just that the government mainly seem to be looking at training existing installers, so you know, training gas engineers to go and be heat pump installers, training electricians to be solar panel installers, which is just going to perpetuate the same kind of people doing the jobs, and not perhaps seize the opportunity of bringing a new kind of workforce in that can, you know, can do the job just as well. If you're cutting out 50% of the population, then you've got a much smaller pool of people that are going to come and do the job.
Yeah, you're not expanding your workforce, are you, if you stick to the same group? Another question that struck me, is how come nobody's thought of doing this before, whether it's renewable energy or anything else? You know, it seems to me like now I know about the work you're doing, I'm left thinking, well, of course this is needed. How come it hasn't been done before? What are your thoughts on that?
Interestingly, I am slightly inspired by the way I was trained up as an IT consultant, because I mean, this was a good time ago, but it was kind of an IT boom. Lots of people were needed in the IT workforce. And I worked for Sainsbury's, the supermarket, and they took you on based on aptitude tests. Didn't matter what you'd done as a degree. And they managed to get a really mixed group of people to come and work for them. And they actually trained us up to be computer programmers. So they had the funding to be able to do that. They're a big organization. So I am a bit surprised and disappointed we don't see more kind of from your British Gas and some others. I don't know, maybe it's just that there's a mold there that we think of as the kind of people and the kind of training we give to people to become a plumber, and we kind of trying to break that mold, and perhaps it's just not something they've thought about.
So Leah, if people want to find out more about Your Energy Your Way, where would they go to get that information?
So we have a website, yourenergyyourway.co.uk. We are probably on the socials most active on Twitter, and a little bit on LinkedIn. Obviously, with this recruitment, I think we need to get out there a bit more on Instagram and some other places. But yeah, at the moment, Twitter and our website.
Excellent. What's your Instagram handle and Twitter handle?
We're at your_energy_yw.
Excellent. Well, that feels like a good place for us to leave things. So thank you very much for sharing with us your story and where you're going. Leah Robson of Your Energy Your Way, we're really delighted to welcome you in.
Thank you, Hannah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Ripples of Radical Generosity podcast. Let us know what you thought of the episode and share this podcast with your friends. We invite you to join a global community of radically generous women and non-binary folks at www.corliss.world.